What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Having been there a few times as a delegate, the lobby...
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever.
Well, only ever as an underage delegate.
So, what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by one of the most decorated Gaelic Games managers in living memory. Two All-Ireland football titles, a couple of Ulster titles, several McKenna Cups and a National League final in there as well. I'm talking about the one and only Pete McGrath, who joins us on the line. Pete, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's brilliant to have you along, Pete. Before we get into looking back, I wanted to, I guess, get your viewpoint on the present day or the future, I guess, as well, in what we've been looking at in the past couple of weeks at Special Congress with Proposal B being voted down in terms of not getting the majority that was required to get over the line last Saturday at Croke Park. Down was actually one of the few Ulster counties, in fact, the only Ulster county, I believe, that were on side with Proposal B. We've had you on the show, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, you were against a tiered championship, as it were. What was your initial reaction to last Saturday and what you view possibly as the way forward for the championship?
Well, I think the correct decision was taken, to be honest. I feel that the basic premise of Proposal B, I think, is quite flawed. And I would see the undermining of provincial championships, I would see that as a major mistake. Now, people say that Ulster are looking after their own self-interest here. To an extent, I suppose we are, because the Ulster Championship always has been probably the most competitive, the most open, the most engaging. And to have had that seriously diluted, I think would have been something that most Gaelic followers up here would have been opposed to.
Mm. Is there a way then in your minds to make the championship more equitable, I guess, for I hate using the term lesser teams, but you know, that's the one that's been bandied about. Teams that wouldn't have featured at the sharp end, let's say, in the last 4 or 5 years. Is there a way to make it more equitable for them while maintaining the provincial championship structure?
Well, I feel that altering the championship structure doesn't automatically mean that you're going to improve the footballing fortunes of so-called smaller or weaker counties. Mm. I feel you take Leinster, for example. Let's talk about the Leinster Championship just briefly, which obviously in recent years has become, people would say, a non-event in terms of the very predictable outcome of the ultimate winners, Dublin. I feel that if you consider Dublin won a number of All-Irelands by the very bare minimum, particularly against Mayo, which would suggest that even though they were an incredible team, that they were not even in those glory days unbeatable. And I feel that maybe counties in Leinster, a number of counties in Leinster, the Meads and the Kildares particularly, maybe just let Dublin get out of control and didn't really believe that if they improved their own structures, their own team preparations, their own ethos about their senior football team, I think if they'd worked hard enough on that and diligently enough on that Dublin could have been toppled in Leinster maybe a couple of times over this previous 8 or 9 years. But that's just my own personal view. How you could restructure the championship to the betterment of the so-called weaker counties, smaller counties, and obviously there's a provision now to go ahead with the Tulchan Cup next year and all that.
Mm.
And some of the so-called smaller counties are in favour of it. Others, I know, are not particularly excited about it. And if you were to ask me for an alternative, first of all, I would say this, that the National League, I think, is a marvellous competition. You take, for example, going into 2022, all the counties are in respective divisions from 1 to 4. And I would say that where most counties are in terms of what division they're in, that's where their level of ability and their level of accomplishment has put them, right? Mm-hmm. I think the challenge, and I think it's a very realistic challenge and one that players and counties can get their teeth into, is to better themselves by getting into a higher division. Let's say coming from Division 4 to Division 3 or from Division 3 to Division 2. You work hard to get that promotion. The following year, then, you're going to be playing better teams. You're going to have 7 matches against better teams. And again, if the county's prepared diligently and methodically and put the resources in, then those 7 matches in the higher division the following year will improve that team. It will improve the teams that come up. And even the teams that just don't make it up to get promotion, they know they've got to work a bit harder to get up the ladder, to give themselves the opportunity the following season of getting those matches against better teams. Now, this isn't a quick fix by any means. It's a challenge for counties. It takes time. It takes planning. It will take patience. But ultimately, I feel that's the road for the so-called lesser counties, smaller counties, even counties that are in Division 2 who are not lesser counties, but for them to improve, then they got to work hard during those months to ensure that the best possible opportunity to get promoted is there for them. And it's that gradual incremental improvement, I think, that will raise the standards. In terms of championship, and I am not a fan of a tiered championship. So you say, what would my alternative? Well, if everyone is going to say, and the hierarchy and the people who run the association with all the good intentions that they have say that, yeah, the Tailteann Cup, for example, will be taken seriously. It will get coverage. It'll get proper exposure and all the rest. Well, if it's going to be so important, then my approach to the whole thing would be this, that provincial championships stay as they are, right? And if you lose your first game, you've got a qualifier, whoever that throws you against. And if you lose that second qualifier, then you go into the Tailteann Cup. And that would apply to every county. For example, let's say Tyrone were Curtis Island champions. Let's say they were drawn against Donegal in the first round of the Ulster Championship and are beaten. Mm-hmm. And then maybe in a qualifier, they're drawn against Meath, right, who have lost their first championship match. And let's say Tyrone are beaten, or even if Meath are beaten, then that team, that county, goes into the Tailteann Cup for that year. And then what you've got would be a competition which would have, you know, a mix of teams of varying abilities and varying, different status. Mm. Meath are a big county. So if Meath are in the Tailteann Cup, and there'll be other counties in there as well under this particular system who would be recognised as being quite strong, along with obviously a number of counties that would be recognised as being smaller. But what you've got then is a genuine competition that is going to give those so-called smaller counties still an opportunity to be striving maybe just beyond their ability if they're drawn against a team like Meath or a team like Cavan or a team like Cork, could easily happen. And if the Tailteann Cup is going to be a serious competition, then these so-called stronger counties, if they find themselves in it, they should have no objection to playing in it.
Yeah, I'm wanting to go on.
Everyone says it's going to be a stronger competition, you know, it's going to be taken seriously. So that would be my take on it. And I think I still contend that the National League, marvelous competition, and I think that is the bread and butter by which the so-called smaller or weaker counties over a period of time can make those incremental gains if the proper preparation and approach is made, get them up the ladder and ultimately then put them in a better place to compete maybe more seriously in the senior championship.
Looking ahead to the lay of the land in 2022, and specifically to one Division 2 team who by next year are going to be 28 years, I think, between All-Ireland titles, currently still without a manager, would be down. Is there any inclination on your part to stick the hat in the ring for a third time this time?
The way they do things in Down, you don't put your hat in the ring.
Right.
There is no mechanism which allows interested parties to make to make it known that they are interested. A subcommittee was set up some time ago, and the procedure here, the protocol here, is that they would source a manager. They would speak to someone who would be their preferred choice. And if that preferred choice wasn't in a position to undertake the role, then they would sit down, rethink, and go to what would be a second preference, almost like a second preference vote.
Yeah.
So that's the procedure here, and always has been, certainly in recent times. So the fact that we're now heading into November and things are very, very, very tight in the county, one hears rumours about who has been approached or who might be taking it, but you go from one rumour to the next. And really, there's no, the subcommittee, whatever else they're doing, they're keeping a very tight hold on ensuring that they aren't saying anything out of school. to undermine. So I have no idea. I really have no idea where they're going with it. My gut instinct would be that they maybe almost have a management team ready to go, but they could be waiting on someone just to dot the I's and cross the T's. I honestly don't know. I was at a function yesterday in the Slieve Donald Hotel in Newcastle, where the county was honouring the 60th anniversary of the 60-61 breakthrough team. And I mean, even at that, there were obviously the county secretary was there, the county chairman. Not that I was fishing for information, but I spoke to these people, but no indication at all of what direction they might be going in. It is a strange one, surely.
If there was a call to come through from that sole committee, how would you react?
I have no bother saying that if it was felt that I could make a contribution to the county senior team, is something that I certainly would look on with great enthusiasm.
If somebody was to even... Sorry, go on.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, if somebody, because like we all know how these things work essentially, is that if there are interested parties, then I guess Kerry is kind of the case in point. They kind of, outside of the process, they will build their own management teams. Would you be happy enough to be part of a management team, even if going forward, to be like a coach or to be like a senior coach or a selector alongside somebody else's vision?
Well, I suppose my entire career in football has been managing, coaching. To be a selector or an advisor or something like that wouldn't particularly appeal to me. I would still very much be a hands-on person in that sense.
Yeah.
But if an approach was made, it's something that I would take very seriously, and I think I would look on it very enthusiastically. But it's the type of thing that's obviously it's out of my hands, and I'm not sitting by the phone waiting, because I would be surprised if a call came. I would be delighted, but I would be surprised.
Okay. The situation isn't that far removed, I guess, from the one in which you found yourself getting a call in 89 to take over the senior team, because like the rumour was, the story was, like, and depending who you talk to, I remember reading an interview with yourself where you said you felt you were like fifth, sixth or seventh choice. I remember I saw an interview with Ross Carr where he was saying he thought you were like 14th, 15th choice. It kind of gets built upon the more you talk about it. But like, I still can't get my head around that situation where you were a very successful manager with that damn minor team, leading them to an All-Ireland in 87. And yet somehow 2 years later, weren't really a consideration for the senior gig. That seems odd.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you consider that in 1987, when I managed the minor team to the All-Ireland, I was 34 years of age, still playing club football. And 2 years later then, in 1989, I'm 36. So I'm still playing club football at that time. So potentially and possibly the reason why I wouldn't have been on the top of the list in terms of people who the county board was going to approach could have been because that the age profile was young, still playing club football, etc., still managing the minor team at that time. And there would have been, I suppose, other people who, you know, in terms of experience, maybe past All-Ireland winners as players, who had been touted for the job, and they would have been a more natural choice at that stage. So the kind of circumstances that led to me eventually being approached came at the end of a process that summer whereby there's no doubt that the county board had approached a number of people who didn't feel that they wanted to do the job or fulfill the role. But it didn't really bother me. And at the time, the first contact that was made would have been by T.P. Murphy, the late T.P. Murphy, secretary, who wanted me to be part of a management team, a kind of a triumvirate, including two other people. And I thought about that and then said no, that I would be interested, but it would be as manager, who I then put together a management team, not going in as part of a, you know, a joint authority with two other people. But times have changed. And in those days, for example, I mean, there were very few, if any, people managing a county team from outside the county, anywhere in Ireland. Whereas now, for example, the names that one hears bandied about within our county at the moment about who's potential managers, they're all from outside. They're all from all the counties. There's no one's name been mentioned who's actually a native of County Down, which again is an indicator of the just the way things have gone in terms of county team management and the interchangeability of counties in terms of taking on that role.
Would it be preferable for you to have a down native in charge of the county and not left to look outside?
That's not a simple yes or no answer, because if there was a candidate, if there was someone from outside the county who was going to come in and, you know, do a really good job and who had a proven track record, then that would be for the betterment of Down football, obviously. And I myself have managed outside my own county. I've managed Fermanagh, I've managed Louth for a year, and particularly in Fermanagh, I mean, I very quickly became, you know, really, I really embraced Fermanagh, and after a very short period of time, I really felt that I was part of Fermanagh and part of the players and part of the whole sort of GAA family up there, and it meant a lot to me. So I suppose whoever is the best man for the job, and another thing is that now there's a lot of focus on a management team. You could have a really top-class manager with a proven track record who maybe can't put together an effective management team, whereas maybe someone with not so good a track record, or maybe not as good a manager, but he is able to put together a management team that ticks all the boxes that have to be ticked in the modern era, then that's the management team, and that might be the cohort that actually gets the gig. So I think that maybe the days of just looking for a manager have maybe gone. It's more now a manager and what management team can we build around this manager. That I think is more, you know, akin to what the norm is now.
Yeah, that kind of makes it a little bit more impressive, given the nature of what you had to do when you went into that down team, because in 89, because like you mentioned yourself before, like you had some winning over to do with that squad, and there were certain elements of the panel weren't necessarily bowled over by your appointment, and you had to win them over. And by all accounts, it was one meeting of the team whereby you managed to get everybody on board. That must have been one hell of a meeting, if you don't mind me saying, Pete.
Well, I mean, a number of players who were there that night and who did openly, and they were within their rights at the meeting, voiced, not entire confidence with the appointment. And they questioned why I felt that I had the ability and the experience and the know-how to come in and manage them. Now, they were saying it not in a disrespectful way, because I would have known these people personally even then. So what was said at the meeting, and I was very straight with them. I had a vision. I wouldn't say it was a plan, but I had certainly a vision of the kind of environment that I wanted to create, the type of team I wanted to create, the type of ethos that I wanted to create within the group, things that I felt had been missing from a down squad for a number of years, and I explained to them what I felt those were, and I felt that we could put them in place together and drive the thing forward. And a number of the players subsequent, I mean after we had won All-Ireland 2 years later, a number of players said to me, Pete, it was that meeting on that night, took place in Burn, the social club in Burn. He says, that meeting convinced us that you were the right person to lead this group forward and to try and achieve something which they felt they could achieve, but which they hadn't achieved up to then, namely, winning an Ulster title and going on and winning an All-Ireland.
Yeah.
So if you want to put it in salesman's jargon, I certainly sold myself to the players very well that night.
What did you feel at the time they were missing? Because you look down through that team, the Greg Blaney's, the James McCartans who just come through under you in minor level, Conor Deegan as well, the same, DJ O'Kane. That team is shot through full of quality, one would suspect from the outside. But then you view Down and Ulster football through the prism that you had to view it at the time, which was fairly unsuccessful, because was it 86 before Down in 91 was the last Ulster team in an All-Ireland final, and then going back to the late 70s, I think 77 again before. Ulster football, I'm not going to say it was on its knees, but it isn't necessarily in the position of strength it finds itself in now. And Down was at the forefront of bringing the province back up, as it were. What did you feel that Down team in particular were missing prior to your taking over that helped them get to an All-Ireland final 2 years later?
Yeah, well, when we won the Ulster title in 91, it was the first Ulster title in 10 years that Down had won.
Yeah.
The last Ulster title was 1981 prior to that. And they were beaten in an Ulster final by Tyrone in 1986. And subsequent to that, then Derry beat them in 87, Monaghan beat them in 88, and Tyrone beat them in 89. And really, the thread running through those defeats would have been that Down didn't lack skillful footballers. They didn't particularly lack intelligent footballers. But what was definitely missing would have been, let's call it steel, a serious competitive desire to win matches when the going got tough, when other teams, when these teams, the Derrys, the Tyrones, the Monaghans really put it up to Down physically. There is no doubt that certain elements within the team couldn't live with that. They couldn't, show the resilience and the desire and the physicality to go on to play through that and to let their ability come through. It was maybe character that was missing.
Right.
It was maybe that desire and that willingness to at critical times and matches put their bodies on the line and to stand up to opponents who were prepared to walk over them. And that had happened. That was happening, particularly in championships. So that was the issue that myself and the late John Murphy, John was my number two, had to address. And the only way to address that was to obviously get players into the team in areas of the field where we were going to become really competitive and we weren't going to back down.
How much of that that mindset of yours to inform that team with steel and inform them with a bit of rigidity was informed by your own playing days? Because in your playing days, you were, you know, the perception of you as a player was that you were probably too slight or too small for inter-county level, whereas in actual fact, you were probably skillful enough to play. It was just the perception of you probably counted against you a little bit. How much of what you wanted to build in the senior team as a manager was informed by your playing days?
Well, these things all feed in. And I think to quite a large extent, Gaelic football, particularly at inter-county senior level, maybe changed, particularly with the Dublin team of the 70s. Because what they were able to what Heffernan was able to create was a team that was physically strong, physically powerful, yet skillful, and obviously who played a tough physical brand of football, but still the marvellous forwards who could create and take scoring opportunities. And I think as the 70s went on, then Kerry came along, needless to say, I just think that marker was put down. That at inter-county senior level, you've got to be able to fight your own corner. Physical strength and power became those hard skills, I would call them. Power and strength and height and all that became almost paramount to having a team if that team was going to compete at the highest level. And possibly, you know, as the 70s went on, when I came in to play inter-county senior football for Down, maybe the smaller, skillful player was just being sidelined and siphoned off to a certain extent. Mm. And I would have been conscious of that. And I suppose the fact that my inter-county career, you know, didn't go on as long as I would have wanted it to, but that fed in. But the big thing for me was, you know, having managed down minor teams, having had success 86, 87 with the county minor team, but yet to see our county senior team being, to some extent, in critical matches, being maybe bullied in certain areas of the field. And until that stopped, nothing was going to change in terms of results. Hmm. So that was the challenge. And we were fortunate. I was fortunate in that there were people that I could bring into the forward line or put from defensive positions into the forward line who could win their own ball and who were strong physically, the likes of Ross Carr, Gary Mason, Peter Whitnell come along out of the blue, who was a very, very powerful footballer. And then you had the likes of Greg Laney, who was always tough, always to win his own ball, James McCartan and Mickey Linden. So, I mean, in one sense, things did fall into place and we got those couple of players into the team or into the positions that we wanted them, who could do the things that we felt were necessary to change the whole dynamic of the team.
And that steel amongst the squad as well, like that was imperative to, like, both of your All-Irelands, you could say, were won against the prevailing narrative of the day. Like in 91, Meath's, you know, series with Dublin meant that pretty much all eyes on that side of the final anyway were on Meath going in, and everyone presumed that given the journey they'd gone on, the semi-final against Roscommon then, which they won pretty easily, that they were going to go and beat a Downside who were still, you know, young upstarts at All-Ireland level. And then again in 94, it's hard to think now that Dublin were being spoken of as a team that needs to win in All-Ireland, that it's good for football if Dublin wins in All-Ireland. And it's like, you look at that through 2021 eyes and it seems odd. But, you know, it was very much a case of Down weren't the people considered to go and win either those All-Irelands, as much quality as it would have been within those sides. How much of an imperative was that steel, that bloody-mindedness, I guess, to, like, even taking that Liam Hayes article in 94 saying like Down don't know what it takes to win in All-Ireland, which is silly, but you know, you had, that was stuff you definitely had to battle against as well.
There's no doubt, and I mean the 91 narrative has been well told and revisited again and again, and Meath's journey that year and how they and Dublin really elevated, you know, Gaelic football to another pinnacle almost with their four matches and Croke Park full to the brim every game and etc. And while the whole country then was looking and talking about Meath as they battled through and then went on and eventually got to an All-Ireland final and almost off the radar to an extent, this Down team comes out of nowhere and finds itself in an All-Ireland final. And then the nature of the Meath team, in the sense that they were a physical team, that's the way they play their football, and we knew that was coming down the line, as to say, physical, marvellous forwards, a defence. Well, Mick Lyons himself said that, in an article I remember reading, that playing full-back in the Meath defence was like being the top hitman for the Mafia. That was his own words. Now.
And he looked like he'd settle in well to the coast in Austria as well, to be fair to Mick.
But of course. Yeah. So, you are right. We were coming in that final, you know, in a certain narrative, which really almost put us as outliers, right? And we weren't going to spoil the party because this Meath team, given what they came through, you know, we're going to be very deserving All-Ireland champions, and Down hopefully would put up a bit of a game for them. But we never believed that.
Yeah.
We never believed that. And then in 94, you're right. I've said this recently to people that in 94, no matter what article you read, in the build-up to the final, the whole thrust was, for the sake of the GAA in Dublin, this Dublin team needs to win an All-Ireland. So hopefully Down will accommodate that. But again, that never entered our psyche at all. We were just a team in an All-Ireland final. We were there on merit. And I suppose we had the added incentive as a group, as players and as management, to vindicate ourselves in the sense that 91 just wasn't a one-off.
Yeah.
We had a couple of barren years, 92, 93, but we were back and we were going to vindicate that what happened in 91. Yeah, it just wasn't kind of one of those meteorites come through the sky and burns itself out, but we were back and we were going to make it.
Does that mean more to you then, 94?
Well, I suppose it doesn't mean more in the sense that if 91 hadn't happened, then that mindset wouldn't have been there in 94. But 94, and some of the players said this who were involved in both teams, in both successes, said that 94, as the campaign went on, they were able to actually not enjoy it more, but to savour it more, because the 91 thing had been more like a runaway train. You're suddenly heading down the track, you're not sure where you're going or how it's going to end. And then it's over and you won it. 94, because we'd been there before 2 years previous or 3 years previous, we were able to kind of take in the whole thing and maybe process it much better. And in certain ways, 94, in certain ways it was more enjoyable because it was like coming to a home where you'd been before and you knew you were going to get an all big welcome. So you're able to maybe process it better, savor it more, and just enjoy it. Maybe it's not the right word because it was hard work. I can tell you, very hard work.
Yeah. Well, listen, Pete, despite breaking my heart on that September day as a 9-year-old back in 1991, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. And thank you so much for taking time out. And we'll keep an eye out for that vacancy up in Uri, and whether or not your name pops up in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Cheers, Pete. Thank you so much. Pete McGrath there. Bye.